Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Eric Hasseltine is the radio voice of the Grizzlies, and he is joining us via the phone line right now. Eric, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm good, Gabe. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. You got some free time on your hands. I know that much. Yes. What has the early offseason been?
That's debatable. So when you kind of are in charge of a youth baseball team, there's not a lot of free time.
No, I hear you.
You're working a lot of angles. But what you realize is all the little tasks that pile up, especially when you decided to change residence in the middle of the season. There's little things that need to get done. So they're starting to get done one by one. I'm sure there'll be a day when they're all done, and I'll look around and go, well, what do I do now? So I don't know. Maybe I'll go bartend or serve food somewhere. I think that's probably in play. Just, I can't sit still. Yeah. I mentioned that to somebody, and they're like, well, why would you want to work in the summer? I said, because I can't just sit around and do nothing. And you can only play golf, you know, by yourself so many times before you go, okay, this is boring. I like to play golf, but I like it when I'm with my buddies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. How many years have you been coaching youth baseball, by the way?
Well, coaching, not. I would have done more of it, but I started helping coach my son's team years ago. It's hard to coach when we have our schedule. So I don't actually coach. I help.
Okay.
But more of this was administrative. You know, look, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the organizations that are out there. There's a lot of great youth baseball in this area, and there's a lot of great organizations that provide opportunities to play at a level above the recreational leagues, which are fantastic. I mean, we had such a phenomenal experience in the Germantown Baseball League, and then where it got my son the base, he got started a little later in baseball than some kids do. But the other ones, I've seen ones in Collierville, ones in Bartlett. They all give kids a chance to play. And then when they're good and then they're better than, you know, they're the top kids on their team or in their leagues, they have an opportunity to maybe step out of that rec league and go play. And you go down to some of these youth baseball tournaments, Gabe, and you're just like, wow.
Right.
I don't remember the talent level being like this when I was this age. I mean, I remember the kids that were really good, and fortunately I was close to that level at that age. I wasn't the best, but I could hold my own a little bit. And but you see some of these kids, and I've walked by 12-year-old baseball players, and I'm like, dude, I would think you're a sophomore in high school.
Oh, 100%.
Not a 12-year-old.
100%.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's human evolution, but it's fun. It's fun to be a part of it. So I've been helping my son. I work with him during the days and stuff. So it's good. So I can't really – claim to be coaching them,
okay.
But I try to help them when I can. I do know the game, and I would love to coach, but it's just it's not fair to the boys. And, you know, I don't love the stigma of dads can't coach their kids or coach their kids'
right.
team, but I do understand it, especially when people are paying. So that's the reason we started our team, was to get away from the stigma of it being a money situation, which it does cost a lot to run a team. So I understand why these organizations charge what they do. And you have to employ a staff and you have to do that. So I kind of took that on as this is my way to give back and give kids a chance to play. Let's try to do some fundraising and see if we can't make this possible. It was a crazy idea. I was fortunate to have some very close friends, one who wishes to not be named and one who I know doesn't mind, but the good people that own Ghost River, who treat my son like he is, you know, their, you know, nephew or and just really have always been kind to me, said we'd love to jump on board. So we created the Ghost River Brewers because the owners are huge Milwaukee Brewers fans, and it is a brewing company. So
yeah, makes sense.
Decked our guys out like that, and that takes up my time. So
yeah, and now holler at me. There's an event tomorrow for fundraising for the Ghost River Brewers 12U baseball team.
Yeah, there is, and I appreciate you letting me talk about that before we get to the NBA. We, the good people at Chick-fil-A right there up the road from you guys on Poplar, the one by Poplar and Mendenhall, right there by the Hueys and all the great places over
there. Popular location.
Yes, it is a popular location. It's at 4916 Poplar. And between the hours of 5 and 8 tomorrow, if you are either going there or think you might want to go there, may I encourage people to, yes, go there. Yes, use your mobile order. And when you mobile order at the time to check out, there is a button that says support community event. It doesn't cost anything extra for people to go in and get their Chick-fil-A for themselves, their family, their coworkers, or whatever. But you're supporting the community. And Scott Malone up there, I really appreciate his willingness to allow us to do this. We'll have some other ones, which I'll probably hit you up on again. The good people at Skybox Grill also will be doing an event for us. But we just, you know, look, I get it. Everybody's got expenses, and asking people to pay for other kids' baseball expenses is a lot. But these things add up, you know, just so people understand how expensive the game's gotten. You know, $250 a kid for all their uniforms and practice gear. And then you talk about the parents supplying gloves and stuff like that. We tried to help with that. But a baseball for a game, each baseball costs $8, and you have to supply two balls per game, and then you have to get practice balls. So the expenses do add up. We're not one of those super high-level teams traveling the country. We're fortunate to play in Oxford and South Haven. But places like Chick-fil-A that are willing to donate a portion of the proceeds between those hours from the mobile app orders certainly does help. So if you're going to Chick-fil-A tomorrow, 4916 Poplar, between 5 and 8, just when you check out on your mobile app, look for that little button. It'll say support community event. Pound that, and a little portion of your dinner will help a kid play a little baseball where it's not about money. And we grab kids that just wanted to play ball and start out trying the travel ball thing, where at the age of 12, a lot of kids have already gotten there. So it's sometimes hard to find a place. So we wanted to create a place for those kids to give it a shot.
Rock on. And I think people are going to go by that Chick-fil-A, that Chick-fil-A location anyway. So make sure you check into that mobile app tomorrow from 5 to 8. 100%.
Yeah,
we'll let you know before we'll let you roll as well.
Yeah, it's not a hard sell to tell people to go grab some Chick-fil-A. Somehow something tells me people like the product.
Yeah, and you know what? Just no service-wise, there's no better fast food doing it right now.
They're fantastic.
It's ridiculous. It's honestly ridiculous, though. Like, it's a science. It's a science at this point. Now,
of getting you to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on to the NBA. I full disclosure, I thought it was going to be easy to watch the Warriors flail around and fall before Klay Thompson likely ends up on another team. We'll discuss that in a second. But I got to be honest, it was kind of rough watching them flail around. I mean, they had Steph Curry doubled the entire night. He couldn't do anything. Klay Thompson was miserable, absolutely horrible. And they were making some uncharacteristic mistakes, like Steph Curry stepping on the sideline because he's trying to get away from the double team. Draymond, just ridiculous fouls throughout the game. I got to ask you, how did you enjoy that last night, or was that a little tough to watch? Were you in the same boat as me?
Well, It's not that it's tough to watch because they didn't play a great game. And truthfully, when we left the arena Friday night before the Sunday game, when I was listening to the Kings and Suns game on my way home, I have ties to both the Kings and Warriors over my time. I grew up going to Warriors games with my father. That's where I developed the love of the NBA. I still have one of my closest friends in the industry who took me under his wing. He's a little bit older, is the Warriors radio voice, and I've gotten to know Tom Tolbert, who's on that, you know, who played there. And we always joke about my dad would like yell, "Tolbert, what are you doing?" Like, right. So I always bust into their booth and yell that at him, and he laughs. Great people all around that organization. And of course, Sacramento. But when the Kings lost that game to Phoenix on Friday night towards the end of the regular season, a game that they had, I mean, they absolutely had it. They made critical errors. And I thought, well, you don't ever want to put it in play like you're one and done at 9-10. You want to be in the play-in at first, and that's more important. But that loss stings. But if you're looking at it, and now they draw Golden State at home, they match up well with them. The Warriors just don't have an answer for Domantas Sabonis. They don't really have an answer for the wings in terms of if you pick Klay Thompson to go get Keegan Murray, then who's going to get Harrison Barnes? The way that the roster is built for Sacramento, it's not built to beat Golden State, but it does match up well with them. And oh, by the way, De'Aaron Fox is a big point guard.
Yes.
And that can give give Steph Curry some problems because Fox is 6'3", 6'4", with a wingspan and super quick. And then it pushes him on the defensive end. If you start moving guys around, the matchup isn't there. The note that I thought was most interesting, and I heard Jason and John talking about it, Draymond being out at times this year, suspension, injury, take a pick, they were like 11 games under 500.
Yep.
You think about that, just that play against Yusuf Nurkic, and I was watching it when it happened. I just happened to be watching that game, and I was like, oh boy, that's going to be a long one because it didn't look like he was trying to break away. They were getting physical, it was getting chippy, and that's Draymond. And I get it. And I've always said the referees, to me, at times seem a little timid to kind of try to put him in his place. They don't want that. And he feeds off that. I can't blame him for that. But just go back to our game there when he turns and tells Santi did something that he took umbrage to. I looked at the replay. I still couldn't tell if he felt Santi threw an elbow, if he felt like he hip-checked him, whatever. But right in front of the official, Draymond puts his open hand in his chest and pushes him and basically tells him, don't do that, about three words we can't say on the radio, again. And Santi's like, man, bounce off. I didn't do anything. And like Santi's barking back at him. Draymond's barking at him. And it's right in front of the official. You cannot put your hand in another player's chest, push him, and dog cuss him and not have repercussions.
Yep.
And then we know what happened. The next dead ball, Taylor Jenkins is going out to talk to one of the officials. Draymond Green then goes and stands right on Taylor Jenkins' left shoulder, which is a big unheard of in the NBA. You don't crowd another coach. And so Desmond Bane saw it, and all Des did was walk in and just kind of put his arm in between, like trying to calm him. Says, come on, man, just go on. And Draymond gets umbrage with that and starts swinging Des's arm around. Now we got an all-out melee. Now guys are falling. Gary Payton II goes down, rolls into Taylor's leg. Thankfully, it didn't do much damage, but he stayed down because he hit him in the side of the leg. I even asked Taylor, I said, what happened? He goes, he rolled into the side of my knee, and I it hurt.
I know about getting rolled up from playing ball. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
And everybody's like, oh, you know, and you read the social media knuckleheads that are like, oh, he's just doing this to make a point. Like, no, if you watch the tape, he got his leg rolled into, and he's got to walk the sideline. If he did some damage, they need to check it out. And nothing happened. Yeah. All that happened, and Desmond Bane and Draymond get double technical.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so let's go through this, NBA. How does that happen? How can you not go to your officials and go, you guys have got to start doing this? So all this talk after he came back and made this big what to do about, I'm going to be a better person. I was talking about retiring, and Adam Silver told me, don't do anything crazy. I was like, come on, dude.
Yes.
Like, I don't want you to do anything crazy, but Adam Silver called you and said that. And then what do? You go right back to it. And that's why Yusuf Nurkic took some shots last night at him on social media. So you look at the games they lost while he was gone. They shouldn't even been in that game. But now you got a problem where he played fairly well last night.
Yep.
But Klay Thompson is being guarded by two similar sized guys at different times, both of whom are solid defenders. They switch things up, and yeah, it's done. I mean, it's cooked. But is it over? I don't know that I would go that far because Kuminga developed. I like Podziemski. I think they didn't use Kevon Looney well enough. Maybe they obviously they know something I don't, but they got a decision to make about Klay Thompson, and they have a real decision to make about Draymond Green, because as the skill sets diminish, as you know, watching pro sports, these guys that have done this and bullied and all that, they're going to bully even more because their athleticism
right.
can't keep them at the level they were at.
Right.
He cannot be the same. I mean, he can be an elite defender, but he can't be the same guy that just absolutely clamps down a game because it's physically harder to keep up for that amount of time. So now what's he going to resort to? Being a bully. And that's fine. It's worked for him. I'm not complaining about that. I'm not sitting here saying basketball is not a contact sport. But when you cross the line, if no one steps in, then you want to suspend them for other things. These are the things that happen. So going to be interesting to see. Might be the end for them. Might not. They're swearing it won't be. But Klay Thompson would have to take a pay cut. And I'm happy to see Sacramento advance. It'll be interesting to see that Pelicans game without Zion. And if they get the eighth seed, that's a great matchup. With the Timberwolves, because you got the potential player of the year on the defensive end, Rudy Gobert, and you got an absolute monster in Domantas Sabonis. The question becomes who goes and gets Towns if he's, you know, right and going the right way.
Right.
But and what do you do with Anthony Edwards? But De'Aaron Fox has an advantage over Mike Conley, so it becomes, can this be one where those rare times where this Western Conference where everybody won like 46 games, you got a really good team as a play-in tournament as the eighth seed.
Yeah, now Klay, it looks like he's going to test the free agent market. Now, I'm going to bring this up because I think if it is over, and I fully believe it is over because I don't think Klay will be on the Warriors next year, and even if he is, we saw what he was this season. I think the real tragedy, if it is over, is it felt like, and you can definitely speak to this, it felt like the Warriors never really went out of their way to develop their young players the way they should have. It took way too long to put Jonathan Kuminga in the lineup. Moses Moody, same thing. James Wiseman was a guy, obviously it didn't work out, but it didn't really feel like he had a great chance to work out as a Warrior. It felt like over the years, if it wasn't Steph, Klay, and Draymond, it wasn't worth it. That's sort of what it felt like, sort of watching from the outside.
I can see that. I think with those guys, the Moody one was the biggest one to me in terms of what he brought to the table. He wasn't less athletically like Kuminga is, or he's not big like Wiseman, but I thought defensively he was a guy that could really help them. I think with Kuminga, the shot didn't develop the way they had hoped. They thought they'd get a young guy in, super athletic, work on his three-point shot, get him right, be able to do both. He ended up just abandoning the three and using the slashing skills that make him special. I mean, I think they went through a stretch of games this year where he had like six or seven straight 20-point games, and I think in the total number of games he made like five threes in all of the games, and you're like, wow. So you're scoring at the rim and on the free throw line, which is good because you have the guys that can shoot it. But the Wiseman thing, as I understood, was they really wanted that to work, but just defensively, he either couldn't grasp what Steve Kerr was bringing. There they say he didn't seem to want to play defense. I'm not sure. I watched that guy, and I'm like, dude, there's so much raw
there's something
there.
Right.
But you wonder how much did him walking away from the University of Memphis and taking a year just to train and not play affect him? Because when you break it down, he essentially came from high school to college.
Yeah.
I mean, high school to pro. And you get in there, and all of a sudden you're not the biggest, most athletic, baddest dude going. And I still look at Wiseman and go, somebody's going to take that kid and try to make a player out of him. And then it becomes on him. So when they got him with that number two pick, I was like, oh, boy, this might be a big problem because now they've got guys to fill it up. I think what it also states, Gabe, and I mean, people can agree or disagree, it states how special Steph Curry is as a player,
right,
and what Klay Thompson meant before the injuries and when Draymond wasn't just trying to bully people when he was locking you down and that was his way of bullying you, how good those guys really were. But they had other pieces in the right place. I think they're trying to replicate that. And it's hard to develop young guys in three or four spots when you've got three or four guys that are eating up those minutes. And, you know, then KD comes in, you're not getting it. Where are you going to play? Those guys, you're only getting 14 minutes a night at three different or four different spots. And the one spot they had was the five, and they thought they got that guy. So whether that's off the court development, I think there's something to be said for that. I do think that Steve Kerr is a really good coach, a really good teacher of the game. He learned from Greg Popovich and, you know, learned a lot as a front office guy too. And now that's going to be tested because Steph Curry has put another year on the tires as well.
Yep.
And he still looks really good, but it's not going to be long before that drops off a little bit. So there's something to be said, and there's that talk right now in the Bay Area that we failed in developing the young talent, although I think Kuminga took big steps forward. And sometimes you miss.
Yep.
I mean, being a former college football player, I'm sure there were guys you played against, you thought, boy, that guy's going pro and he's going to be a stud. And then you look at him 2 years later and he's getting cut and you're like, what happened? Sometimes you miss. Guys get there, they settle in, they feel like they've figured it out, whatever it may be. The scheme isn't right for their game. Take your pick. I never want to say a guy doesn't work because it's impossible for me to believe that someone that plays at that level doesn't put in work. I mean, I've seen it. It's very rare where guys miss workouts or they just. But maybe the thought process of digging in and trying to get there took so much out of them. And once they got there, they're not that. There's not that hunger or fire.
You rest.
Keep elevating. You rest a little bit. And when you rest at the professional level, I don't care what sport it is.
People are lapping you. That's just how it works. I mean, people are absolutely lapping you with the work they're doing. Now, talking with the radio voice of the Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine. When it comes to this, the playoffs in general, though, and I think last night's a good example of that, and you know, seeing Steph Curry and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Zion all in the play-in in the Western Conference. The Western Conference is where the NBA is going to make their money in the playoffs. The Eastern Conference, I have a whole lot of trouble believing in anybody outside of the Celtics right now. Giannis is going to miss time. The Knicks don't have Julius Randle. You just keep going down the list. The Cavs have not been the exact same team. Magic haven't done it before. Pacers, they haven't done it before, and they have not been great since the All-Star break. But the Western Conference is going to be ridiculous. I mean, watching some of the – I mean, we already have the Clippers and the Mavs locked in, the Suns and the Timberwolves, Nuggets versus Lakers in a rematch. This is going to be phenomenal.
It's going to be outstanding. And you're not wrong about the East. It's crazy that you look at the East and we're all looking at Miami and Philly and going, look out for whoever draws them.
Right.
Look out, like, because you get a healthy Embiid and they're in the play-in because Embiid had to – go out and Maxey was out and you look at those and you're like, okay, so that's what, you know, that's where it becomes that type of lookout, you know, like you got these teams down at the bottom that are there. I'm not thinking anybody's worried about Chicago or Atlanta.
No.
One of those two teams will survive tonight and then probably lose to the loser of the Philly Miami game. But, you know, Orlando's, it's their first dip in the water. I like what they do. I like Jamal Mosley as their coach. They've got talent. They've got guys that'll play. But when you're young, it does say something about learning how to be there. There's all kinds of evidence of that. And then, like you said, the other teams with injuries, you're going like, okay, Indiana really hasn't been there either. So, yeah, it's top heavy. It's Boston. But then you go to the West and you're like, wow, right. This is going to be like, okay, so the Lakers just drew Denver. Congratulations, Denver. You're the two seed because you blew a game in San Antonio. And now
which
you
was
get the Lakers
nuts. I mean, just objectively insane.
Yeah, I mean, just bananas. Like, these things happen. Well, now Oak City is the one. And there was all the talk. Well, maybe the Lakers tank and then they win the next game. But you don't want to put that in play. You want to go get the win. So now Sacramento or New Orleans, and in my opinion, more than likely Sacramento without Zion Williamson. But you never know. You're on the road. But let's say Sacramento wins. That's a team that just played a Game 7 last year against Golden State. You think they don't have a little bit of an advantage in the experience realm going against the Thunder team, who is really good on both ends of the floor, no question. You don't get the one seed if you're not. But the experience factor matters. And so what I thought about, and maybe just humor me for a second, remember when we were talking about what the Grizzlies needed to do the first 25?
Right.
How do they possibly make a run at a play-in? What's the number of wins?
Yep.
And I said, look, man, if they don't win at least 11, that's a problem because the West is loaded. And then Houston came along, and I'm like, you got a real problem now. Think of it this way. Everybody's like, well, the Grizzlies could have done this, could have done that. The Grizzlies, with the start they had, before all of the other injuries mounted up, and it didn't, obviously it went worse than expected, they would have had to go 40-17 just to tie for the 10th spot. I'm like, I thought about that the other day. I said, yeah, that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. And then
that was going to be really hard to do.
Yes, it was always going to be hard to do. The Western Conference is just so damn competitive. That's just the truth of it. Now, with the Grizzlies, getting done with that season, 597 games lost to injury, suspension, or what have you, or personal reasons. 33 different players, 50 starting lineups. What was it like to sort of follow that night to night?
You know, everybody asked me if it was hard, and I said no, and they thought I was crazy. And I said, here's what I know every night. You're the underdog.
Yeah.
You've got eight guys available. For the last month and a half, you basically had 8 or 9 guys available, of which I think at the most at any time, 3 or 4 had full NBA contracts with the team when the year started. Everybody else was either Jordan Goodwin being the one accepted of a two-way guy. Everybody else was either a two-way or not in the league. And it's hard to win like that. But the one thing I said all year was they go out and they play their tails off, and it's a testament to them and their professionalism. They're prepared. It's a testament to the coaches. And when you watch how they lost games, it was inexperience and playing to a level that they hadn't been at yet. You're closing games against teams like the Clippers with Scottie Pippen Jr. and, you know, Gigi Jackson, who was in the G League to start the year on a two-way deal, and guys that weren't in the league against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and, you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook's out there, Ivica Zubac, who's a good big. And then I think, you know, so that one you had the lead, but you couldn't hold it. The games like in Boston, going to Boston with 8 guys and only 2 of which had an actual NBA contracts before the season. I think it was before Jordan Goodwin. Well, of course you're going to get killed up there. But I think it was interesting. You know, we were joking. It was like, well, if you did a team picture with everybody that actually played, we might have to take it outside and shoot it from the roof so we get everybody in the shot.
Right.
Because you're going to have 60 people in the picture with staff and coaches and all that. And it was kind of a ha-ha, whatever. But it was tough. And I always, the professionalism of the guys that work with the players, that coach the players in the training room, everybody was always locked in. So for me, yeah, it was hard because you never like to see your team struggle. You never like to see your friends go through that. And you develop friendships. This is 5 years with this coaching staff. I've become very good friends with a few of them. And you can see that just some nights you're like, hey, let's just go not talk basketball and go grab a beer and talk about life or college basketball or hockey or anything but our team, because it's a weight on your shoulders. But that's what we get paid for, you know, we're blessed. I mean, I feel lucky every night to crack the microphone. Now, when you prepare, it's a little different. There's not enough room for all the numbers, but you respect the things that happen, the way Gigi Jackson came in. And sometimes these guys make you look like you know what you're talking about. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Because then you can say, oh, yeah, look how smart I am. But, you know, before the home games, I'll go over to the Ghost River Brew Pub right across the way and kind of, for the fans there, do a little preview. The owners are, like I said, great sponsors of our baseball team and good friends. And I always open it to questions, and someone said, well, what are you looking forward to most seeing? I said, you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing Gigi Jackson, because now he has to play. And now he can't go out there. He's not worrying about, am I going to get the hook in 12 minutes if I don't do the right thing? Am I playing too passive? Am I playing too tight? You just go play. As long as you're not loafing or jaking it down the court, not giving the maximum effort, you're going to get your minutes. Now what do you do with them? And about 3 weeks in, I looked at Brevin Knight and I said, you know, am I crazy seeing this? But this kid went from kind of tentative, trying to make sure he didn't make mistakes, trying to make sure that, you know, people knew he was committed. He had the one mishap, whatever it was, where he got suspended for a game. I don't think it was anything too serious, probably just a little, like he said, lack of maturity, made a mistake, cool. It never affected him. Like, he would have a 4-for-17 game where he was getting good shots, it wasn't going in. The next night, he's not either shot hunting or hiding away. And, man, I remember a stretch in March where he went from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to De'Aaron Fox to Steph Curry, and then we were on the road in San Antonio, and he drew, I don't even remember who he drew, whether it was Jeremy Sohan or whoever it was. But then he goes and has to face Jamal Murray in Denver. And you're like, welcome to the big show, big kid. And, yeah. and he welcomed it. And he was always laughing about it and having fun. And so that was fun to watch because he really made the most of it. Scottie Pippen made the most of it. Vince, before the knee, made the most of it. Other guys, injuries took a toll. But let's even like Jake. Jake LaRavia was everybody's pick to be like, well, he's got to go.
Yep.
Look at what's happening. And then he was able to just play and get confidence. And that was one thing I was told by
He's actually on the floor. Like, I think that was the biggest thing, right?
Yeah. And they were like, it's crazy because in practice, he plays so much more confidently and he gets shots and he's not hesitant. What I saw in the last 2-3 weeks for him, he stopped trying to drive it all the way in against 2 and 3 guys, stopped trying to make the perfect play, let it rip. He was good. Yep. He got his confidence with his shot, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is the shooter that you thought you got when you drafted him. So, yeah, it's not fun. I'd rather be working right now. I'd rather be preparing. Well, let's be honest. If it was not in the play-in, I'd probably be in Florida waiting for the play-ins to end and be back wherever we're going next. But I'd rather be getting ready for a playoff series. But that wasn't in the cards, and you got to move to next year and hope that you get right back. But the West ain't going to get any easier.
Yep.
Even if Klay Thompson goes elsewhere, even if some guys move on, the West isn't getting easier because Houston's going to get better, and you've got to think that Utah has a chance to get better. They still have Lauri Markkanen. San Antonio should get better. How much better, though, remains to be seen. Portland, same way. But it's going to be a gauntlet again.
Now, we have a couple more minutes. I do have to give credit, though, to two guys in particular. Taylor Jenkins, seeing the view of him in the national media as opposed to what it looked like early in the season from Grizz Twitter and some people in Grizz media. And then also Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, watching him the entire year, just a workmanlike attitude. That was absolutely beautiful. Now, last thing, because I feel like I am compelled to ask this, what do you think happens with Luke Kennard this offseason? You think he will be on the Grizzlies heading into next year?
That's an interesting one because you have to factor in, I think you have to do your due diligence medically and make sure this is not going to be a lingering issue if his knee is giving him issues. And you may have to say, hey, we're not going to pick up the option, but we might be interested in reworking a deal, see what's out there. I don't know how all that works technically.
Right.
But you got to – I think some depends on where the ping pong balls fall.
Sure.
I think some depends on what's out there in the market. Are there any trade partners that come to you with a deal? Is there a way to pick the option up? And maybe he's part of a deal. I love having Luke around. I mean, he's – first of all – first class dude, super happy for him and his wife having their first kid.
Yep.
Always easy to talk to and a competitor. I mean, he hates losing. Like I forgot where we were, but we saw him after a game and, you know, I'm like, hey, bro, pick your chin up. Met his father that night and he's like, yeah, I'm just trying so hard to make us better. And it's, you know, some nights it just gets tough. I'm like, yeah, it's part of it. Like you're playing with guys you haven't played with before. So I like him around. I mean, with him and Dez, you have two elite shooters on your roster. That's a big number.
Yep.
And if that number means you can go maybe get somebody in free agency that really helps you. So, I mean, again, I think that's where the ping pong balls fall. If they move up in the draft and they're not going to look at a big that high, then which big do you make a run at? Who's out there in free agency? There's a couple names out there by league rule. I don't think I need to tell anybody anything they don't know, but by league rule, I can't really comment on other teams' players. But, you know, does that change it? And you go, okay, well, now this is expendable, and now we can make a bigger offer to X, Y, or Z and see if we can't woo them down here. Because there are a couple guys, I don't want to say who right now, because again, it's all till we get to free agency period. I don't want to get in any trouble or get the team in any trouble that I really think would fit that role that Steven Adams played perfectly.
Right.
And my thing is you need someone who is big, somewhat mobile, but fairly mobile, but not doesn't have to be super athletic. So I'm not looking at 7 feet and 220, 210. I'm looking at 7 feet, 235, 240 and above. Good pick and roll guy, good mid-range guy, will be a willing defender and rebounder, not saying, hey, I need the ball. Hey, I want more of a role in an offense if I'm going to go there, saying, hey, look, I see you guys have you got the offense on lockdown with those three dudes. I'll get mine just by being in the right place at the right time. I just want a chance to win. And considering you were the two seed 2 years in a row with guys like that, let's see if we can't get back to that and make a run. So that'll have a lot to do with it.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever happens, I mean, I think worst case scenario, you know, he goes and nothing happens. Best case scenario, you work it into the deal and it works best for your team. If he's on the roster, you've got two of the top 10 shooters in the league when they're open, in my opinion, yep. if healthy. And that's the big thing.
Yep.
That's the big thing.
And it's going to be interesting to watch. This is a big offseason for them heading into next year. Now, before I let you roll, we need to go ahead and plug this one more time. Poplar Avenue, 4916 Poplar, the Chick-fil-A location. Use those mobile apps tomorrow. Let them know before I let you roll.
Yeah, so we're doing the fundraiser for our 12U baseball team and Chick-fil-A. And, again, my thanks to Scott Malone up there for allowing this. So if you're going to go to Chick-fil-A tomorrow for dinner, if you wouldn't mind, even if it's a little out of the way, hitting the 4916 Poplar location between 5 and 8, put the mobile order in, because that's such a great way to get your food now without waiting in these huge lines they have, because the food's delicious. I eat it regularly. But when you check out, if you go onto that checkout on your mobile order, there will be a little button that says support community event. It doesn't add anything extra to your bill. It just means that you're clicking on that to have Chick-fil-A support this. It's a tax-deductible donation. Our baseball team is nonprofit. We raise the money. The parents contribute some as well. But we've raised money through various fundraisers, and, you know, being the guy that runs it, I don't make a penny off this. I'm happy to give my time and my efforts to raise the money to help these boys play the game at a higher level than they were playing it, and hopefully, you know, start raising them to work towards playing and potentially in high school and maybe even further. So giving kids an opportunity to play where, you know, some of them, the means, the funds just really aren't in the books, whether it's family size or whatever, and that's not a knock on them at all, but getting them an opportunity to play some competitive baseball and seeing the joy they get out of it, that's all I need. So we do these fundraisers, Chick-fil-A, like you said, 4916 Poplar. It needs to be on your mobile app if you order, and then when you check out, it just says support community event. Hit that for us. We really appreciate it, and I appreciate you letting me come on and talk for half an hour basketball and youth baseball, brother.
Absolutely. Great stuff as always. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, kid.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.